decorated with a house, and flower gardens fell over the top half of the door. Then Mama moved a small table with feet that looked like claws beneath a shiny cloth, and like magic, the door disappeared. Mama put her ring of keys in the table drawer and led Lily out into another room with an enormous bed and odd sheet-draped figures. "What is beneath those sheets?" Lily wondered. She stayed close to Mama, fighting the urge to hold onto her arm. But Mama didn't like to be touched, so Lily didn't do it. She wanted to close her eyes, but then she'd trip, and Mama wouldn't like that either. After the bedroom, they went into a long, thin space with shiny floors and walls lined with pictures and decorations. What was it called? Lily tried to remember but couldn't. One side of the space had a swirly metal railing instead of a wall, like the swirly metal bars outside her window. She stayed close to the wall and away from the railing, feeling mixed up and dizzy, like she was going to fall. Everything felt too big, too wide, too long. Her breath rattled in her chest. She touched her thumbs to her fingers and tried to count, but kept losing track of her numbers. She coughed, and Mama gave her a stern look. If she had known the bottom part of the house was going to feel like a giant pit waiting to swallow her whole, she never would have wished to leave her room. She wanted to run back up there now, but that would make Mama really mad. As they made their way toward a staircase with more swirly railings, Mama's lantern reflected off the high ceiling and cast marching shadows above her head, making the walls seem like they were moving. Lily gripped the railing tight in her fists and made her way down the steps, certain she was going to cartwheel and tumble, end over end, to the bottom. On one hand, she wanted to see everything, to explore and inspect every part of Blackwood Manor. On the other, she wanted to close her eyes and make it all go away. At the bottom of the staircase, she followed Mama across an open area with a fireplace, bookshelves that went up to the ceiling, and chairs that looked soft as pillows. The air smelled like soap and wood and metal and dead flowers. Pictures of mountains, people, and horses filled the walls, and a sparkly light made of shiny beads hung from the ceiling. The rug beneath Lily's feet felt as thick as the mattress on her bed. She could hardly believe what she was feeling and seeing and smelling. How could the ceilings be so high, the walls so far apart? What kept such a giant house from falling in on itself? And what did her parents do with all this space? This one room alone could house 20 people. She felt weak and wobbly, like she did when Mama forgot to feed her. More than anything, she wanted to go back upstairs. The world was almost too much. Then she pictured Mama reading a book next to the fancy windows, while Daddy smoked by the fireplace, his feet on the footstool. She pictured Mama and Daddy comfortable and warm, drinking hot tea and enjoying each other's company, and for the first time ever, anger at Daddy knotted in her stomach. "How could he leave me upstairs? Why didn't he let me come down here when no one else was around? Maybe then I wouldn't be so scared right now. Didn't he care that I was all alone?" Tears blurred her vision, but she kept going. There was no other choice. After the fireplace room, she followed Mama down another shadowy walkway with doors on both sides. The light from Mama's lantern filled each open doorway, and Lily craned her neck to see inside the rooms. High shelves and books filled one room, and a long table surrounded by cloth-covered chairs filled another. At the end of the hall, they entered what looked like a kitchen, their footsteps clacking on the black-and-white tile floor. Copper pots and pans hung over a center counter, and a black stove sat beneath a stone archway. White cupboards with glass doors lined the blue walls. Above the double sink, A flowered curtain hung over a window made of little squares, with potted plants lining the sill. What Lily imagined were the leftover aromas of cooking and cleaning filled the kitchen. Fried onions and baking bread, water boiling in a kettle, and strong soap. For reasons she didn't understand, she wanted to stay there, to open the cupboards and see what was inside, to soak in the warmth from the stove and eat a meal. It reminded her of the kitchen she had read about in books, where mothers and daughters peeled potatoes and frosted cakes, where entire families sat at tables eating and talking. What was it like to stand at a sink and wash dishes in soapy water? To bake cookies in the oven and make soup on the stove? What was it like to eat with other people? Mama said Lily couldn't eat with her and Daddy because seeing her across the dinner table would make them lose their appetites. Remembering what Mama said made Lily's lungs squeeze shut. All of a sudden, she couldn't breathe. She stopped and gripped the edge of the counter, air squeaking in her chest. Mama glanced back at her. "What are you doing?"
"I don't want to," Lily said between struggling breaths. "Everyone will think I'm a monster. They're going to...
Mama scowled. "I told you, circus performers are used to people like you. Now stop being bad and do what I say. Your father went to a lot of time and expense to surprise you, and I won't have you ruining it." Before Lily could say another word, Mama grabbed her wrist and dragged her into a small room off the kitchen. Coats hung from hooks on the walls, shoes and boots lined the floor, and a door looked like it led outside. Lily counted the boots and shoes, trying to calm down. 1, 2, 3, 4... 5, 6. Little by little, her chest loosened, and she could breathe better. Mama set the lantern on the floor and took a sweater from a hook. She put it on, picked up the lantern, and grabbed the door handle. Then she paused, lifted a jacket from a hook, and handed it to Lily. "Put this on. You might need it later."
"Later?" Lily said.
Mama shook her head. "I mean when we come back." Lily took the jacket and put it on. It felt heavy on her shoulders, and the sleeves hung past her hands. "Roll them up," Mama said. "And hurry. We've got to get over there before it's too late." Lily did as she was told, shivering and sweating at the same time. She wanted to ask what they might be too late for, but couldn't find the right words. Mama pulled open the door and slipped out into the night. Lily stood in the open doorway, holding the jacket tight around herself. This was the moment she had imagined 1,000 times, the moment she had dreamed about nearly every night, the moment she thought would be the happiest of her life. But now, the idea that she was about to walk out of the house shocked her so badly, she felt like she was about to float out of her body into the dark outside. It seemed for an instant that she did, and she could look back and see herself standing in the doorway. "Come on," Mama called over her shoulder. "Hurry up." She kept walking, unaware that Lily had stopped on the threshold. Lily thought about turning around and running back up to her room, but Mama would just come after her, and she would hit her again. That would be worse than going to the circus. Besides, what if she never had this chance again? She took a deep breath, ignored the rattle in her chest, and stepped out of Blackwood Manor. The outdoors felt enormous, bigger than she ever could have imagined, vaster than she ever could have dreamed. She stood shaking, surprised and scared and happy, all at the same time. She was outside. A half moon slid down the side of a cloudless sky filled with 1,000,000 stars, casting a wintry glow over the summer night. And the smells, oh, the smells. She wasn't sure what wonderful aromas filled the air, but she imagined grass and dirt and trees and water and mud and insects and leaves. She imagined horses and hay,
and flowers and rain. The thousands of pictures she had pored over in books flashed in her mind, and now she was about to see them in real life. A warm breeze caressed her face. Night felt warm and soft, like breathing under a blanket. She pushed up her sleeves to feel the air on her skin, and moonlight reflected off her white hands and arms. They looked like they belonged to a ghost. Mama kept going, walking fast, and the yellow circle of lantern light moved farther and farther away, bouncing across the grass. On one hand, Lily wanted to know what it felt like to be surrounded by night. On the other, she was terrified by the massive empty space. Who knew what lay beyond the darkness, just feet from where she stood? Who knew if she would be swallowed by blackness or snatched up by a wild animal? She hurried after Mama, counting her steps until she caught up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The feeling of walking and walking and not hitting a wall felt strange and exciting and scary at the same time. Together they crossed the shadowy yard, past the long silhouettes of trees, and the towering shape of the barn. Horses whinnied and nickered inside the dark building, thumping against the walls of their stalls. A sweet, dry grass smell filled Lily's nostrils, along with a musty, warm tang she imagined was manure. Mama opened the gate to one of the pastures, let Lily through, then closed it again. Side by side, they moved across the field. Insects chirped and clicked all around them. Lily wanted to walk slower, but Mama was in a hurry. On the other side of the field, they ducked beneath a white plank fence and made their way toward a line of trees. The ground was rutted and uneven, and Lily kept tripping on clumps of dirt and grass. She was wheezing again, but didn't dare stop to catch her breath. She thought about asking why they didn't take the road, then remembered they couldn't chance being seen. Who knew what would happen if someone saw a white monster on the side of the highway? Following Mama into a stand of evergreen trees, she did her best to keep up. Her shoes, which she only wore when Daddy asked her to, pinched her toes. Sweat broke out on her forehead, and her nose started to run. Inside the trees, Mama led the way along a narrow dirt path, padded with pine needles. A clean smell filled the air, like soap and Daddy's cologne. Lily wondered if it was the trees. She thought about asking Mama, but it was all she could do to stay behind her. An owl hooted above her head, and she jumped, then craned her neck to see it, and nearly tripped over a rock. When they finally made their way out of the woods, the thinning trees and low bushes, they came out at the grassy edge of another field. From there, Lily could see the dark shapes of circus tents and wagons. The colored lights had been turned off, and the midway was deserted. Mama led her across the grass into a sawdust-carpeted lot, beneath a huge banner that read, "The Barlow Brothers Circus." Overhead, triangle flags hung limp in the warm air. Closed lemonade and hot dog stands lined the lot next to stands with signs that read, "Cotton candy, ice cream, and roasted peanuts." A giant painting of clown faces filled the sky above one tent. The silent clown stared back at Lily, frozen mid-laugh. Traces of moonlight glinted off flagpoles, making them look silver and old. Purple-black shadows and gray light crisscrossed the grounds, and a strange mixture of hot grease and animal dung filled the air. There was so much to see and smell, it made Lily dizzy. "Where's Daddy?" she whispered. Mama shushed her and kept going. Lily scanned the lot, waiting for someone to come running at them through the maze of tents, popcorn, and candy apple stands to ask what they were doing there. If the circus owner had agreed to put on a show for her, where was everyone? Where were the animals and performers? Why was everything so dark and quiet? When Mama's lantern light swept over a row of giant banners in front of a parade of tents, Lily wanted to close her eyes again. She shrank away from the paintings of scary-looking people below words that read, Aldo the Alligator Man, Lucifer the Devil Baby, Vital the Three-Legged Boy, and Dina the Living Half-Girl. The people in the pictures looked like something out of a nightmare, each one more upsetting than the next. Where are the clowns and the elephants and the horses? She wondered. And where is Daddy? She stopped next to a ticket stand, gasping for air. I want to go home, she said. Mama came back to where she stood, grabbed her wrist, and dragged her forward. Lily tripped and stumbled, but Mama didn't care. Then they came back to a big tent, with poles and beams and wires sticking out in all different directions, like the bones of a giant beast. It was the big top Lily had seen from her attic window. The front flap read, To the Circus, Main Entrance. But the entrance was dark. When Mama passed it and kept going, Lily dug in her heels. Where are we going? She said. Mama ignored her and yanked her forward. On the other side of the big top, a train sat parked on the railroad tracks, a long row of passenger cars and boxcars behind a massive black engine. It was bigger than Lily could have imagined. From her window, trains looked the same size as her model farm animals. Yellow lights shone here and there, behind square windows, and circus wagons with animal cages sat on the ground beside the engine and first few cars. Lily couldn't see inside the cages because it was too dark, but to the left of the wagons, a group of bulky mounds lay on the grass. Elephants, she thought. Real live elephants. 1, 2, 3, 4. Number 4 stood on its thick legs, its trunk hanging down like a giant worm. Lily started toward them, but Mama pulled her in the other direction, toward the back of the big tent, into a cluster of covered trailers, trucks, and wagons, painted with horses and winged lions. Lily tried to get Mama to let go because she was hurting her arm and pulling too hard, but she was no match for Mama. Where are we going? She said again. Where's Daddy? Finally, Mama slowed, and a gloom-shrouded figure moved out from behind one of the trucks and walked toward them. It was a man, quite big, with a thick neck and broad shoulders. Daddy? Lily said. Then the man moved into Mama's lantern light, and Lily screamed. It wasn't Daddy. It was a giant monster, with a bony forehead, eyebrows grown together over a wide nose, an ape-like jaw, and a mouth that looked like a steam shovel. The monster had massive shoulders and huge arms, and his boat-sized feet kicked up clouds of dust from the earth. A jagged slit ran up the middle of his face, separating his top lip and splitting his nose into two mangled pieces. In the middle of his forehead, a mass of dark red tissue looked like a third eye. Big gray teeth filled his mouth, crowding one another for space and overlapping at several points. A checkered shirt stretched over his muscled chest, and the bottom of his worn trousers stopped just below his tree trunk-sized knees. Lily tried to look away, but couldn't. She stood frozen in terror and amazement. Maybe he was an ogre, like the one in Puss in Boots. She didn't know those things were real. Mama gasped and shrank back, but held tight to Lily's wrist. Lily moved behind her, her limbs heavy as stone. Please, Mama, she cried in a weak voice. I want to go home. Then a normal-looking man appeared behind the monster, dressed in black trousers and a long jacket. He took a drag from a fat cigar and moved toward them, smoke wafting from the corners of his mouth. No need to be afraid, the man said. Victor won't hurt you. His oil-dark hair was pulled into a ponytail, and his face reminded Lily of pictures she'd seen of the moon, with craters and dents and rocky parts.
What? Who is he? Mama said.
Victor is my star attraction, the moon-faced man said. But that's not what you're here for, is it? Where's the girl?
Mama dragged Lily out from behind her, her mouth twisting with the effort. The moon-faced man turned on a flashlight and shined it at Lily. She blinked and squinted, blinded by the light, then dropped her chin to her chest, breathing hard. Air squeaked and rattled in her lungs. What did the man want? And what would he do when he saw her face? Would he run away in fear, or would he try to hurt her? If she really was the devil's spawn, maybe he'd try to kill her. Mama had told her over and over that she was only trying to protect her. Maybe she brought her here to prove why.
Take off her coat, the man said.
Mama yanked the coat off Lily and let it fall to the ground. The man shined the flashlight from the top of Lily's head to her feet.
How do I know she's really your daughter? He said to Mama.
Then he put his hand, it was fleshy and damp, beneath Lily's chin and lifted her face. She held her breath, unable to pull her eyes away from his, waiting to see his reaction. For what seemed like forever, she stared at him. What was he going to do? Why wasn't he afraid? At the same time, she couldn't help examining the face of the only person, besides Mama and Daddy, she'd ever seen up close. To her surprise, his expression remained calm. No shock or fear showed in his eyes. Maybe he was used to monsters.
"How dare you question me?" Mama said. "I signed the papers, didn't I?" "That doesn't mean anything," the man said. "If you're accusing me of lying," Mama said, "I'll leave this instant and take her with me."
The man shut off the flashlight.
It wouldn't be the first time someone tried passing a kid off as their own.
"Well, I can assure you," Mama said, "I'm telling the truth. I'm a God-fearing Christian, and I..." The moon-faced man laughed, and Victor the monster laughed with him.
"Is there something funny about that?" Mama said.
The moon-faced man waved a hand in the air, still grinning.
"No, not at all. I'm sure God is happy to know you're not lying about this girl being your daughter." He glanced at Victor and rolled his eyes. "I just need to know one more thing. Is your husband aware of our agreement?"
Mama nodded. "My husband is not long for this world, and Lily has been nothing but a cross to bear since the day she was born." Lily frowned at Mama. What did "not long for this world" mean? Whatever it was, it sounded bad. The man leaned forward and fixed his eyes on Lily's.
"Tell me the truth, little girl, or you'll be sorry. Is this woman your mother?"
Lily thought about saying no, but she wasn't sure who would be more mad, the moon-faced man or Mama. She nodded once and stepped back.
"Good," he said. "We wouldn't want anyone accusing me of stealing you."
Lily's chin quivered, and she turned toward Mama, who still held her wrist in an iron grip.
"Where's my daddy?"
Mama ignored her.
"Do we have a deal, then?" she said to the man.
Lily's chest grew tighter, and she grabbed at her throat. She couldn't get air.
"Please, Mama," she gasped between breaths. "I promise to be good. From now on, I'll read the Bible and..."
The man grabbed Lily's chin and shined the flashlight in her eyes again. He squinted and turned her head from side to side, blowing his hot, sour breath over her face. Lily tried to pull away but couldn't.
"What's wrong with her?" the man said. "She's sick?"
Mama shook her head. "No, she has trouble breathing when she's upset, that's all. It'll pass."
"If she turns up dead in the next few months," the man said, "I'll come back for my money, and it won't be pretty."
"If you're not interested," Mama said, "the Ringling brothers are coming to Albany next week. I'm sure they can pay more anyway."
With that, the man scowled and let go of Lily's chin. He gestured once, and the monster moved forward, grabbed her by the arms, and dragged her away from Mama. Lily screamed and twisted and kicked, trying to break free.
Mama, please!
Mama acted like she didn't hear her.
Don't touch me,
Lily said. She kicked the monster's legs as hard as she could. He grunted, spun her around, clamped a giant hand over her mouth, and held her against his stomach. One sweaty arm across her chest, Lily dug at his skin, trying to get him to let go. It was no use. She stared at Mama, struggling to breathe, her wide eyes filled with terror and tears. The moon-faced man took a shiny clip from his pocket, pulled a stack of money from it, and held the money out to Mama.
"It's all there," he said. "Count it if you want."
"One more thing," Mama said. "Don't ever come back here. I'm not leasing land to any more circuses."
"Understood."
Mama took the money and counted it. Lily tried to yell and scream, to beg her mother not to leave her there, but the only noise she could make was a strangled, high-pitched wail. Mama stood for a moment, her eyes locked on Lily, the money in her fist.
"It's for the best," she said,
and walked away.
Chapter 4, Julia. After the breakfast rush at Big Al's diner was over, Julia went into the restroom and locked the door. She sat on the closed toilet lid and, with trembling fingers, opened the envelope from the private investigator hired by her mother's lawyer. The letter read, "From the office of Scolnamiglio and Carr, attorneys at law. Dear Miss Blackwood, it is with sincere sympathy that I regret to inform you of the passing of your mother, Coraline Livingston Blackwood, on September 21st, 1955. As your parents' attorney, it is my duty to notify you that your mother's last will and testament has been read, and as the only living child of Coraline and Howard Blackwood, you are the sole heir of their entire estate. Blackwood Manor Horse Farm has continued to function under the careful supervision of your parents' barn manager, Claude Miller, and a local veterinarian, Fletcher Reed. Although a number of horses were sold before your mother's passing, it was your mother's express wish that these men continue to be paid until you were found and could take over, or until the estate ran out of money. Fortunately, due to your father's astute business sense and careful financial planning, your parents' estate should be monetarily viable for many, many years. With that being said, Blackwood Manor Horse Farm is rightfully yours should you choose to claim it. However, there is one condition. To become the rightful owner of Blackwood Manor and the financial benefits included herein, you must return home and reside on the property. Please contact my office immediately so we can see to it that the proper paperwork is signed. Thank you for your time. I hope to hear from you soon. Sincerely, Wallace Carr." Julia stared at the letter for what seemed like forever, trying to let the words sink in. Mother had been dead for a year, and she was the sole heir to Blackwood Manor. She started to shake, shocked and slightly saddened that her mother was gone. Had died nearly a year ago, in fact, and she had no idea. Weren't family members supposed to know when a relative died? Weren't they supposed to feel a sudden, tremendous loss when a loved one passed from this earth? Then she remembered she had been swimming with friends when her father died. She had felt happy and carefree, ignorant of the fact that the one person who seemed to love her had been killed in a car crash. Maybe family members only sensed one another's passing when they shared genuine love and true affection. Her eyes flooded. She was officially an orphan now. Her mother and father were gone, and yet she grieved something else even more, a loving family. But how could you miss something you never had? Someone knocked on the restroom door. "You in there?" It was Sheila. "Be right out," Julia said.
She wiped her cheeks, put the letter back in the envelope, and stood on rubbery legs. She stuffed the envelope in her apron pocket and looked at herself in the cracked mirror above the sink. How could she return to Blackwood Manor with its bad memories and closely guarded secrets? Then again, how could she stay here? Chapter 5. Lily. Following the moon-faced man, Victor the Monster held Lily to his chest. His sweaty hand clamped over her mouth and carried her toward the train. Lily kicked and twisted and tried to scream, but she could hardly breathe and she was starting to grow weak. The monster held her tighter. When they reached the train, he hauled her up a set of steps between two boxcars and waited. An oil lamp hung from a hook outside the boxcar door. The moon-faced man took the lamp from the hook, slid open the entrance, and led them inside. Goats and llamas filled the pens on one side of the car, and bales of hay and stacks of burlap bags lined the other. Victor followed the moon-faced man to the end of the aisle and waited for him to open a metal cage. When he loosened his hand over her mouth and bent over to push her inside, she bit down on his palm as hard as she could. He yelled and let go. She twisted in his arms and almost got away, but the moon-faced man grabbed her by the scruff of the neck and shoved her into the cage. She stumbled, fell, and landed on her hands and knees. Victor slammed the door shut, and the moon-faced man locked it with a padlock, swearing under his breath. Filthy straw lined the bottom of the cage, and a horrible smell filled her nostrils. She scrambled on her knees over to the door and hooked her fingers through the bars, wheezing and gasping for air. "Let me out!" she screamed. "Sorry, sugar," the moon-faced man said. "I just paid hard-earned money for you. And in case you haven't figured it out yet, you belong to me now."
"Please," she cried. "I want to go home."
He laughed. "You are home, and I'm your legal guardian now." Lily gagged and tried to catch her breath.
This had to be a nightmare. It had to be. Why would Mama do this to her? Why? "No, my daddy will come get me."
"I'm afraid not, little one. Your daddy is dying and your mother signed the papers. It's all legal."
"That's not true," she said. "My father is in Pennsylvania. He's coming back tomorrow. And when he does, he'll be looking for me."
"Believe what you want if it makes you feel better, but that's not what your mother said."
Lily let go of the bars and slumped in the cage, too weak to sit up. What are you going to do to me?"
"When I decide, you'll be the first to know." He picked up the oil lamp, started to walk away, and signaled Victor to follow.
"Please," Lily cried. "I'm begging you, please let me out."
"Want me to stay here and keep an eye on her, boss?" Victor said. His voice was low and gravelly, as if his throat were full of rocks. "No," the moon-faced man said. "She's not going anywhere." He made his way toward the other end of the boxcar. Lily screamed until she ran out of breath, and her throat felt like it was on fire. The goats and llamas bleated and pawed at the inside of their stalls. The moon-faced man came back and glared at her.
"Scream all you want," he said. "No one will hear you, and if they do, no one cares."
He kicked the cage and disappeared down the aisle. Victor went with him. The boxcar door opened and slammed shut, and the inside of the car was plunged into blackness. Lily pulled in a shaky breath and screamed again, rattling the cage with her hands. She reached through the bars and yanked on the padlock with every ounce of strength she had left. It was no use. The lock was too strong. She screamed until her throat was raw, then collapsed in the straw, gasping for air. Her elbows and knees felt smeared with dirt, and the sharp tang of urine burned her nostrils. She curled up in a ball and sobbed, tears and sweat coursing down her cheeks. For as long as she could remember, she had wanted to see the outside world. Now, she'd give anything to go back to Blackwood Manor.
"Please, God," she prayed. "If Mama comes and gets me, I'll do everything she says. I'll pray 10 times a day and memorize the Bible verses. I'll get rid of my dolls and books and do whatever she wants. No more daydreaming. No more asking for a window that opens. I love Mama, and I'm sorry for being bad. Please, God, please, I'll do anything. I miss my daddy and Abby."
She pictured her cat curled up on her bed, waiting and wondering why she had left her all alone. The thought of Abby being sad and thinking she had deserted her was almost more than she could take. What would happen to Abby now? Who would feed her and love her and pet her? Not Mama. Mama didn't like cats. Then she imagined Daddy going upstairs to surprise her with a birthday present and finding her bedroom empty. He would want to know where she was, and after Mama told him what she had done, he would race over to the circus train to rescue her. If Mama told the truth. If Daddy wasn't dying. With that thought, something turned over beneath Lily's ribcage, and a horrible, heavy pain exploded inside her chest. All of a sudden, she knew she was going to be sick. She turned on her side and threw up, coughing and gagging on her own vomit. She spit over and over, then wiped her mouth and lay back. Her eyelids felt heavy. Her pulse thundered in her ears. She felt dizzy, like that time Daddy had to put mustard and warm dressings on her chest for 3 days. Then the world spun out of control and went black. A shrieking whistle startled Lily awake. She didn't know where she was or how long she had been sleeping.
"Daddy," she cried in a weak voice. "I'm over here, Daddy."
A dim light filtered in through the slats in the walls and fell over the metal bars of a cage. Straw stabbed her arms and legs, and the low thud of a powerful engine sounded in the distance. Then it all came back to her. She was locked in a cage on a circus train, and Daddy wasn't here. Lily's eyes flooded, and she sat up, her throat and chest burning, her neck stiff. When she could take a breath without coughing, she got to her knees and brushed herself off. Every muscle in her body hurt. Her skin itched, and she had to go to the bathroom. Her belly felt like it was about to explode. She gathered the skirt of her dress around her waist, pushed her underwear to her knees, and squatted in a corner of the pen. Pee ran down the inside of her leg into one of her shoes. Now, not only was she dirty and cold, she smelled bad, too. Using the already filthy straw, she did her best to wipe off her leg, then pulled her underwear up and sat in the opposite corner, counting the bars of the cage and trying not to cry. The goats and llamas were lying down in their stalls, sleeping or munching hay. She peered between the slats in the boxcar and tried to look outside, but couldn't see anything. Somewhere a whistle screeched. Then the boxcar shuddered and lurched forward with a jolt, and the train rattled forward along the tracks. The llamas and goats got to their feet and nervously looked over their stall doors. Lily gripped the cage bars with shaking hands.
"No," she screamed. "We can't leave yet. My daddy is coming to get me."
Little by little, the train picked up speed and traveled farther and farther away from Blackwood Manor. Lily fell back on the dirty straw and sobbed, her head bumping against the cage wall. How would Daddy ever find her now? Terror and homesickness washed over her in violent, powerful waves. There was nothing she could do but wait and pray. Then again, Mama always said God would only answer her prayers if they were sincere. Lily had begged God to make Mama come back for her, but she never did. Lily was still here, locked in this cage. If God didn't think her prayers were sincere then, When would he? After what seemed like 1,000 hours, the circus train slowed, groaning against the brakes. The iron wheels caught and screeched, and the pistons hissed longer and louder. Finally, the train came to a shuddering stop, and the shriek of releasing steam pierced the air. The goats and llamas stood and swayed on unsteady legs. Lily sat up, trembling and scared and cold. Outside, iron latches lifted, doors slid open on their tracks, and men talked and shouted. Ramps and chutes clattered to the ground. When the side door to the boxcar slid open, Lily moved to the back corner of the cage and curled up in a ball, trying to make herself smaller. Sunlight burst into the car, revealing floating dust and hay chafe, and the outside sounds got louder. She squinted against the light and put her hands over her ears, shaking all over. The shape of a man appeared in the doorframe and climbed into the car. He stretched and yawned, then went over to one of the pins and looked inside. Gray stubble covered his weathered face, and a faded black derby sat tilted back on his head. He scratched one of the llamas behind the ears, then moved down the center aisle to check the other stalls. When he came to the one across from Lily, he leaned over the door, his back to her. Lily crawled forward and clutched the cage bars in her hands.
"Hello?"
she said in a quiet voice. The man startled and spun around. When he saw her, his eyes went wide.
"Jumpin' Jesus," he said. "Who the hell are you?"
"I'm Lily," she said. "Can you let me out, please?"
She watched his face, waiting to see if he was afraid of her.
"What in tarnation are you doing in there, kid?"
Her heart thumped so hard inside her chest she could barely speak. Was he pretending not to be afraid, like Daddy pretended? Or was he brave because she was in a cage? She swallowed and found her voice.
"They put me in here."
The man took off his hat and scrubbed an age-spotted hand across his balding head.
"Who put you in there?"
"A man with a moon face and a ponytail, and someone called Victor. He was...
A burning lump filled her throat, and she couldn't go on.
"A monster?"
She nodded, tears spilling down her cheeks. The old man put his hat back on and straightened, his brow furrowed. He stood for a moment, scratching his neck and thinking, then hurried over to the open boxcar door and yelled out,
"Hey, Dante, come over here a minute, will ya?"
A few seconds later, a big man with a red beard climbed into the boxcar.
"What's going on, Leon?"
Leon pointed at Lily and grinned, revealing crooked yellow teeth.
"Look what we got here."
Dante knelt down and peered into the cage.
"Well, well, well, what do you know?" he said. "Looks like we got us a little stowaway."
He smiled and put his fingers through the bars to touch her hair. She scrambled backward into a corner, frightened and surprised at the same time.
Maybe Mama was right. Maybe circus people were used to monsters.
"She said Victor put her in here,"
Leon said. He bent over to look at her.
"And a man with a moon face and a ponytail."
Dante straightened.
"Best leave her be, then. We don't need no trouble."
Leon turned away and moved down the aisle.
"I'm just here to feed the critters and get them ready to unload."
"Please," Lily cried. "You can't leave me here. My daddy is looking for me, and I..."
Leon stopped and glanced back at her, his forehead lined with concern.
"Were you kidnapped?" Dante said.
Lily shook her head.
"Mama, she..."
The words caught in her throat.
"What?"
Leon said. He came back and knelt beside the cage.
"What'd your mother do, darling?"
Lily forced the words out.
"She took money from the man with the ponytail and left me with him."
She broke down again, shoulders convulsing.
"I knew Merrick had something to do with this," Dante said to Leon. She belongs to him now.
Lily swallowed and gazed at him.
What is he going to do with me?
You mean you don't know?
Leon said. Lily shook her head, her chin quivering.
Merrick runs the sideshow for the Barlow Brothers Circus, the most amazing show on earth, Leon said.
He stood and pulled a bale of hay from the stack, broke it open, and divided it among the goats and llamas.
Looks to me like you just joined the circus, kid.
Leon's right, Dante said. But don't cry. It's not so bad. You might like it here.
Lily cried harder. Two more men climbed into the boxcar, and Dante moved away from the cage. It was Victor, and the moon-faced man with the ponytail.
Don't scare now, boys, the moon-faced man said.
Morning, Merrick,
Leon and Dante said in unison.
Yes, sirree, boys, Merrick said.
The gods are smiling on the Barlow Brothers Circus today. Damned if they ain't sending us such a splendid young specimen. Isn't she stunning?
The men nodded in agreement, and Merrick and Victor made their way over to Lily. She pressed herself against the back of the cage.
Let's get a look at her in the daylight, Merrick said.
Victor unlocked the padlock, knelt down, and reached into the cage. Lily scrambled into a corner, away from his giant hands. He swore and stuck his head inside, stretching and reaching for her. She kicked him in the face. Her shoe collided with his already mangled nose, and she heard a bony crack.
Bloody hell! Victor yelled.
He put his hand to his face and moved backward, out of the cage. Blood trickled over his lips. Then he reached in again, grabbed her by the arm, and yanked her out the door. Lily twisted and screamed and tried to get away.
Don't just stand there gawking, Merrick shouted at Dante. Help him!
Dante grabbed Lily's other arm and held on. Lily thrashed and kicked and fought to break free. It was no use. She was no match for two grown men, and her lungs were closing again. She stopped struggling and gasped for air. Merrick moved closer, his eyes gleaming.
You're a fighter, he said. That's good. But I don't appreciate you kicking my star attraction in the face, even if it's already a mess.
Let me go, Lily shouted. I want to go home.
I'll say it one more time, Merrick said. You are home, and you might as well learn to play nice, because you're not going anywhere.
Yes, I am, Lily cried. My daddy is coming to get me in.
I'm afraid that's not going to happen, sugar.
Lily coughed and gulped and tried sucking in more air. Then, for some reason, she suddenly remembered that cats hiss and llamas spit when they're afraid. She took the biggest breath she could muster, closed her mouth to gather her saliva, and spat at Merrick. A white blob landed on his cheek and slid down his face, leaving a wet trail. He flinched as if slapped, then reached into his pocket for a handkerchief, and glaring at her, wiped his face. Then, without a word, he went over to the wall and yanked what looked like a short black whip from a nail, his expression getting darker and darker.
Turn her around, he ordered Victor and Dante. Come on, Merrick, Dante said. You don't have to do this. She's just scared. Shut your damn pie hole and do as I say, or I'll have you red-lighted,
Merrick yelled, spittle flying from his lips. The men turned Lily around and held her by the arms. Victor's fingers dug into her flesh, but Dante held on with gentle hands. Leon watched with sad, worried eyes.
I'm sorry about this, Dante whispered. Just do what he says from now on.
Then the whip lashed across her back, ripping like fire over her shoulder blades. She arched her back and cried out. Merrick grunted and whipped her again, once, twice, three times. The pain was hot and strong, like the flame on Mama's lantern. She writhed in agony, and something warm ran down the inside of her leg. Her vision started to close in,
and her knees buckled, but Victor and Dante held her up. Merritt grunted, and she sensed him lifting the whip again. Dante moved between them, blocking her body with his. "That's enough," he said in a calm voice. "You're going to kill her."
"He's right," Leon said. "She's just a little girl."
"Put her back in the cage,"
Merrick snarled. Victor dragged her over to the cage and threw her inside. She landed on her back and hit her head. Pain shot up her spine. She rolled on her side in the straw, her shoulders burning and her breath hitching in her chest. Victor closed the door and slammed the padlock shut. Merrick hurled the whip down the aisle and paced the floor, his fists clenched. Then he bared his teeth and kicked the cage, denting it.
"I'll leave you in there for as long as it takes," he said. He pointed at Leon. "Old Leon here can bring you food for weeks. Got it?"
She nodded and gasped for air.
"Now you see who's in charge here?"
She nodded again.
"You've got a lot to learn, little girl," Merrick said. "And if you think we're something to be afraid of, try escaping and see who you run into. There are men out there just waiting to examine someone like you. More than one freak has been cut up and had their brains and body parts pickled and put on display."
He paced the floor again, then stopped and addressed Leon, who had gone back to pulling apart another bale of hay.
"Hey, Leon, what do you think the good people of this fine town would do if they saw this young lady wandering around their neighborhood?"
Leon busied himself putting hay into a stall and avoiding Merrick's eyes.
"I can't say for sure." "Of course you can," Merrick said. He smiled a mean, snake-like smile. "Come on, tell Miss Lily the truth, for her own good."
Leon stopped working and eyed Lily, a sad look on his face.
"I suppose the folks in town might be frightened of her. Probably make fun of her, too."
"That's right," Merrick said.
"Or some damn fool might try to kill her, just 'cause she looks different than they do. Ain't that right, Leon?"
Leon shrugged.
"Come on, old man. Tell Lily what happened to your daughter."
Leon's shoulders dropped, and he gripped the top of a stall door with one hand. He stared at his feet for a long time, then made his way over to Merrick.
"He's right, Miss Lily," he said. "It ain't safe out there for people like you."
His saggy eyes brimmed with tears.
"Tell her why," Merrick insisted. "'Cause people are afraid of what they don't understand. My daughter and me, we worked for Merrick and Mr. Barlow for 3 years. She was the most beautiful bearded woman you ever saw. Her eyes were blue as the sea, her blonde hair soft as silk. But she made the mistake of falling in love with a townie and thinking she could live a normal life. I warned her against it, and, well, it didn't work out so good. The other townies weren't never going to allow a freak to marry one of their own."
"Finish the story," Merrick said.
Leon pulled a red bandana from his pocket and wiped his forehead and eyes.
"A week after the wedding, her husband..."
He stopped, and his face folded in on itself. Then he looked at Lily, his chin trembling.
"Her husband found her tied to the church steps with her face shaved and her throat slit."
Lily swallowed and closed her eyes. The thought of someone slitting someone else's throat made her feel like throwing up. She remembered seeing Daddy going into the woods with a shotgun and coming out with a string of dead rabbits. He said hunters killed for food, but seeing the rabbits still made her stomach sick. This was worse. Is that why Mama kept her in the attic? To keep someone from slitting her throat? But what if someone in the circus did it? If Daddy didn't find her soon, and she couldn't escape because someone might slit her throat, was she going to spend the rest of her life locked in this cage? Between her burning back and the idea that she was never going home again, it was too much. She put her hands over her face and felt herself going someplace else. Someplace where it would all go away. Merrick kicked the cage again. Wake up! She took her hands from her face and struggled to a sitting position.
What are you going to do to me?
You work for me now, Merrick said. I run the sideshow, which is why most people come to the circus anyway. They might bring the kiddies to see the elephants and the lions, but what they really want to see are the freaks. And I have the best around. People will pay good money to see someone like you.
But Mama said people would be afraid of me.
Well, we'll find out, won't we? Now, if you're ready to cooperate, I'll let you out of that cage. We'll get you cleaned up and get you something to eat. Sound fair?
She nodded.
No more biting and trying to escape. No more kicking and screaming. If you try anything, I'll just lock you back up. Got it?
She nodded again.
Dante, Merrick said. Go get Glory.
Yes, sir,
Dante said. He gave Lily a worried glance and jumped out of the boxcar. Merrick moved toward the center of the car, stood across from the door, and lit a fat cigar.
If you think about it, I'm doing you a favor. Your parents don't want you, and neither would anyone else. A lot of people look down on carnies. They don't trust us. But the circus is a place where a person can work for a living even if he's lost the possessions normal society likes him to have. People try to get a job somewhere else when they've lost their moorings, and more likely than not, they're turned away. Maybe the road is better than whatever they left behind. Maybe they've got a troubled past. Maybe they're just not cut out for the 9-to-5. Or maybe they don't fit in among decent people.
He took a drag on the cigar, then made his way toward Lily again, smoke trailing from his lips.
Or maybe their family just don't want them around. But we take them in, all of them, even people like you. So you see, it all depends on which side of the fence you're looking from.
Lily didn't know anything about sides of fences. The only thing she knew for sure was that she wanted to go home more than anything in the world. After a minute or two, Dante returned with a woman wearing a pink skirt, a sparkly sleeveless blouse, and a pearl headband in her short, wavy hair. Her face looked soft and pink, but the rest of her skin looked as if someone had written all over it with different colored ink. Drawings of lions, angels, crosses, skulls, hearts, and flowers covered every exposed inch of her arms and legs, each image merging with the others to create one continuous design. Lily couldn't take her eyes off her. When the woman saw her in the cage, she gasped.
"Where did she come from?" she said. "We picked her up at the last stop," Victor said.
"Picked her up?" the woman said. "What do you mean, picked her up?" She knelt next to the cage, and Lily watched her expression, waiting for her reaction. The only emotion on her face was concern. Maybe she was pretending like everyone else.
Merrick gave Victor a withering look. "We didn't pick her up. We saved her. Just like I saved Victor from that orphanage, remember?" He gestured toward Lily. "Glory, meet our newest act."
Glory smiled at Lily, and in a gentle voice said, "What's your name, sweetheart?"
"I want my daddy,"
Lily said, tears filling her eyes. Glory glanced at Merrick and frowned.
"Saved her, huh?" "Mind your business, Glory," Merrick said. "It was a legitimate deal, and I'm her legal guardian now. So are you going to help me with her, or do I have to get Josephine to do it?"
Glory stood. "No. Keep Josephine away from her. I'll get her cleaned up and fed."
"That's what I thought," Merrick said.
He jerked his chin at Victor.
"Let her out."
Victor unlocked the padlock, opened the door, and stepped back. Glory bent over in front of the cage, smiled, and crooked her finger at Lily to come out.
"It's all right," she said. "You don't need to be afraid."
Watch out, Victor said. She's a wild animal.
Breathing.